Hello and welcome to the Empowered Hormone Podcast, where we pull apart all those taboo topics, periods, parasites, poos, hormones and more. Let's question everything you've been taught about your body. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, a gin-loving gut health nerd, passionate about debunking myths on birth control, period pain and IBS. If you struggle with bloating or your period is less than pretty, then join me as we chat about everything relating to gut and hormone health. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Hormones Podcast. I'm your host, Sheridan Decker, and I'm super excited to have Christine with here with me today to chat. I feel like it's been a long time coming to actually have you on the podcast.
Oh, absolutely. What a couple of months in the making. I think if I think back of your Instagram stories, I'll be like, man, I just want to meet with Sheridan. I get to see you every single week.
And I feel like today's going to be really awesome for those guys who have either one, tried a lot of things for your health and not gotten answers. I feel like Christine's very relatable on that sense. Also, those who have struggled to find a balance with, like, we're just chatting about prior to the podcast, but between stress management and training, which are like two of our biggest things to try and find that balance to go, oh, actually, if my adrenals are under the pump or my hormones are out of whack, am I allowed to train or what does that look like? And then just also chatting through your health journey a bit, because for those who don't know Christine, she's actually a client inside the Root Cause program. And over the last few months, we've really worked on her health to progress from where she was to where she is now, and then also set goals, I guess, for where you want to go as well, because health is never a full stop. It's always forever evolving. And I feel like that's the same for you and the same for everyone. So I'd love to sort of start and just go to the beginning of, where did this journey start for you? Where did your health journey start?
Yeah, gosh. So I'd say, and I'm sure many ladies can relate to this story, is being a young girl and just being the vault and diving into the world of dieting, thinking that we got to be smaller, we got to look a certain way. And for me, that started quite young. I think my first appointment with a dietitian was at the age of 9. And that consumed my life pretty much up until this point, thinking that, you know, I know what macros fits are, I know what, how much grams of carbs I should be having all the way through. And unfortunately, again, I'm sure many ladies can relate, that did not necessarily lead to a very healthy relationship with food and my body. And it took a lot of unlearning a few things over the years. And now I just find myself, I think, in a place of self-acceptance of who, what I'm capable of, who I am. And I think just more celebrating health and celebrating the life that I can live versus trying to restrict or pull away from what health needs to look like. So, yeah, I think it's hard. Yeah.
Why did you start at 9? Did you have gut issues? Did you have weight issues? What was it that made you go and see help so young?
I've always been a larger kid, was definitely tall, larger, big bone, the whole works. And I think my parents were just protective of me, making sure that I had, you know, the right sort of focus. That did lead to, I think, about 10 years of weight loss programs and Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
So the intention was definitely good. I think I just spiraled quite quickly.
Why do you think you were carrying extra weight at such a young age? Do you think it is partly because it is something we've worked on together with you through the program, going, is it thyroid stuff? Is it health stuff? Is it gut?
Yeah.
Like, did you have health issues as well? Or were you just a snacker as a kid, not very active? Or was it sort of an unanswered question?
Although I'm sure you hear this many times, Sheridan, the phrase that you are borderline.
Yeah.
Your results are borderline. So for many years, when I was 13, I got diagnosed with PCOS. And I immediately got put on the pill. And I was on the pill for about, I think, 10 plus years after that. Thyroid was always your borderline. Eventually, I developed a goiter. It got so large, bigger than a tennis ball. Actually, I had to have it removed, my entire thyroid, which was bizarre. And then got the meds that I needed. And it's been a handful of practitioners that's really just made that immense impact and helped me identify what the heck is going on. because most general GPs would be like, nah, it's in a specific range or it's borderline. I wouldn't stress about it. Just keep going. Yeah, the diet.
It started with the weight stuff primarily, maybe when you're younger or whatever. But as you went into, let's say, teens, mid-teens, early 20s, did you have any other health concerns come up as well?
I would say that would probably be where my acne really started getting aggressive. My other issues that I had was the weight management was always the pull. So it was always trying to find what can I do to try and be more stable in that space because I would gain really quickly. My acne was probably the biggest next thing that I needed to focus on.
So were you diagnosed with PCOS?
Yes. Yeah. So quite young.
Yeah, I was going to say, and was that insulin resistance?
Insulin, yeah. Yeah. So done metformin, done the Plexidipol, done so many different sort of chemical, if you want to call it that, medicine this time.
And did you, quote unquote, fix it? Like, because you said you went on the pill for a period of time.
Yeah, my weight never got stabilized. I just kept gaining. But the pull, I would say the one thing it probably did was maintain my skin to a degree, which was a band-aid fix.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. Then I think my thyroid was just, you know, havoc. Even though it wasn't coming up, I think in the ways people expect it to, especially at the end of the day, then to me that it's really hard to try and explain to you what has gone on because it can't even put the pieces together.
How did you process that mentally though? Because I feel like that's such a hard thing when there's no clear answer, right? Like a lot of women, when I start working with them and then we go, hey, your adrenals are burned out and you've got parasites, it's like, even though that's not a medical diagnosis, it's an answer. So it sort of gives you a sense of validation. Whereas if you're chasing that validation and that going, hey, I'm not just, and I don't mean this rudely, but I'm not overweight and lazy. I'm actually eating well and I am exercising and I'm doing the right things and my body just doesn't seem to come into range. That's a really hard thing to process.
Absolutely. And I mean, doctors and dietitians, I was in Duramine for many years. I was on Ben injectable, whatever they could give me to just be like, you need to get smaller. And even they got to a point where they were confused, and I think they didn't know enough about hormones to put pieces together to understand how do we treat or how do we help her. But absolutely, it was many tears, a lot of emotions, having to deal with that, and it just led to a very dangerous path of under eating, restricting, and then body dysmorphia and the works, and not getting the results, which is just even harder.
So primarily a lot of that would have stemmed from the thyroid removal, right? Because we know that that controls the metabolism, so the removal of that is what would have been the triggering case for the rest of this stuff. So you're constantly trying to pull that whole thing into range. And it's, then it's crazy. When did you come off the pill?
I think I came off the pill at 24. Was 24 years old. I just decided that's when I really started thinking about functional health and wanting to move into holistic practice, finding other ways and means because of my hormones and the weight issues. Like perhaps this is what's keeping me within this massive stall. Let's just remove anything superficial, right? And that's when part of that was when I went to go see an endocrinologist, and she was the one who recommended to me, hey girl, just pick up 15 kilograms and go, and we can qualify for gastric bypass. Or yes, a couple of antidepressants. I actually think you need those. And it was just always heartbreaking. But yeah, like I said, absolutely at one point met the right person who actually listened and looked to find that there was something at the background really causing havoc.
So when you came off, can you manage your PCOS without being on the pill? Like, can you manage your periods and those kind of symptoms that are obviously driven by the insulin resistance stuff?
Thanks to you, yes.
I'll take it.
So I'd say that definitely. And I've just got so much more awareness of what I'm moving into. Like, I can feel that there's a storm putting in. And a lot of it comes down to my mental state. For me, it's, I think a lot of it's stress driven, imposter syndrome, all of those things can pull me into this hyper stress state. And then being that type A who loves high anxieties and loves threat, then I just drive, and then that just causes absolute havoc. Sitting down can be really hard.
Yeah, 100%. I resonate that fully, because it's interesting. I actually said this to someone yesterday. I went, but stress is a familiarity for me. It's where I actually feel safe, whereas most people are always telling me step out of that and slow down. And I spent Sunday battling with myself all day to just sit down and read a book and not go ride my bike and exercise and chill. Like it's okay to have a day off, Sheridan. And I'm like, I'll just go for a gentle little ride. And it's like, but why? Like, it's okay. But then, yeah, you look deeper and you go, yeah, but that's comfortable. So it comes back to that whole, you know, emotional dating thing as well, where it's like, well, you go for unavailable men because that push-pull, even though it feels awful, it feels familiar as opposed to safety and connection. And I think you must have that. You almost push yourself into those uncomfortable states because that's what you're wired to like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also just, it's that self-awareness of being like, oh, I identify this behavior. Who's showing up now? And like really just trying to work with that. And I think hold space for that. But it takes a lot of grounding and emotional work to show up like that, because it's, like you said, it's so easy to just move into what's comfortable.
So a day-to-day now, because you're obviously balancing blood sugars and training and managing stress and also supporting the fact that you don't have a thyroid. So there's obviously has to be some kind of medication in place. What does a day of eating look like for someone like you now who's not trying to restrict, trying to be conscious? Because that must look so different from Christine of 16, 17, 18, 19 or whatever. No idea what was going on, as opposed to you in your late 20s, early 30s now going, hey, actually, I have some awareness.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and nourishing your body and thinking you need to fuel yourself for exercise, then not punish yourself through the experience. So, I mean, I never thought in a million years I would be eating more than 100 grams of carbs. So the fact that now I'm on like sort of 200 and, you know, having over 150 grams of protein a day, which is very easy for me to hit for this stage, is just, it's amazing. And I think, yeah, just sticking to the whole foods diet. I've always been very, when I say particular, I don't mean picky eater, just mindful of what is in food and how it's going to help my health. And I've just become even more conscious of being whole foods and, you know, fueling your body in the right ways.
Yeah. Do you track your macros and calories now?
Yeah, I do. I do. Honestly, when I say seasonal, I mean when I just want to check in and see how things are going. But yeah, I definitely do keep on top of it, but I've got a good gauge of my splits.
I feel like this is really undervalued information, right? Because the approach you are now taking with your food and your macros, and that's through working in my program, working with other people, developing self-awareness, is that you're doing it for health. You're doing it to fuel your body to make sure you've got adequate stores pre and post long endurance training. You're doing it to maintain a regular cycle. You're doing it to support your nervous system, and you're doing it to support your adrenal glands, as opposed to where it often is just used as a weight loss metric, right? Where it's like, well, if I sit around 1200 calories, surely I will lose weight. You know what I mean? Whereas now you're going, hey, I need to balance blood sugars. I need to get those carbohydrates in if I want to support my training sessions, which is really debatable information in the PCOS world, because so many people will tell you low carb, no carb PCOS. And I do think for some people that does work. But if you are training and you are burning through those kinds of things, I do think that makes a big difference as well.
Oh, absolutely. No, definitely. And I think it's, like I said in the beginning, it's that mental, that mind shift from being restrictive and to punishing my body and now celebrating what it can do. I was actually saying to my trainer the other day that I can't believe, which is a couple of years ago when I was training to punish myself and how little can I eat? How much can I exert myself? Where now it's a complete opposite. It's a mindset of abundance. And how can I give myself more to live a more enriched and fulfilled life? And I think that also comes with a lot of doing mind work. I did a lot of work with students in here, Matisse, in your program. She's amazing.
Yes.
To try and work on those, the, how to call it, the pathways. But yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
100%. And I think that's such an undervalued area again, because so many people forget that. And I'm the same. Like, I went through that same journey of you, like, punish yourself, run as far as you can, eat as little as possible, just because it was like, it's almost like, if I'm good enough, if I can control this, if it, like, everything will be okay, if, you know, if X, Y, Z can happen, or I can be so big or whatever, because those pressures are so huge around us. But you're right, as soon as you flip that and go, hey, my body can do this, and it can do it better when I give it more food and more nutrients, it'll be happier. And the whole, yeah, the whole flick on it is so much nicer and starts pulling that mental pressure off you.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, that the big thing about it is, you know, comparison is, we know the thief of joy. It's that self-acceptance, be like, cool, I'm built like this. I'm built to be strong, or someone else is built to be fast. And I think it's leaning into that. Don't get me wrong, these days I still struggle. So I don't want to find it. But I have to pull myself back and be like, you need to celebrate who you are and build on what you have, not try and just compare, because you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to walk away being more upset.
Yeah, exactly. And you can go both ways. Like, you can compare yourself to people who, quote unquote, have it worse, and then go, oh, I'm so lucky. Like, how good is my life? Or you go the other way and compare yourself to the beautiful Steph Claire Smiths or whoever it is. And you go, they must just have it so good, knowing their whole stories as well. But it's really hard to find that middle ground to be okay with who you are. And when it comes to body size, it's something people can physically see, right? And when it comes to skin and stuff, I feel like those two are some of the real big confidence ones. And we've had chats about this before, as far as self-confidence, and I'm exactly like, your skin and your weight and things really impact you, whereas gut stuff sucks. Like, there is no two ways about being constipated for weeks or having stomach pain.
It's
terrible, but no, you can hide it if suck it up enough and put a smile on your face, no one will know. Whereas, and I have so many clients come through the Root Cause program who people don't know they're influencers or they're PTs or they have massive followings on Instagram. And if I jump onto their Instagram, I would have no idea. Yeah, I'm peeling the layers and I know they've got gut issues. But when it comes to psoriasis, dermatitis, acne, and weight, I feel like that affects women so much.
Oh, so much.
That you can't embrace it, or else you'll slip into depression, because you've got to overcome that every single day. It's absolutely
and you can't hide, right? Like, there's no, like you said, there's no way to get away from it. And I think it gets even harder when you feel in your, you know, you are throwing everything at it. You're doing all the green juice cleansers and you're drinking the celery juice and you know, you're doing all these sort of things. You're just like, why on earth is the pieces not adding up? Like, surely there's something here. And I think, just being able to now know, what are my triggers? Like, what is actually the root cause? Now I know how to manage it. It's amazing. I can't even put it into words.
It does work play a role into that. We get stressed with work, because that's my biggest kryptonite, and I feel like yours similar.
Oh my goodness, yes, work, love it. But you need to have healthy boundaries. And I think the other really thing for me is my self work. And not tying it purely into my job. And I mean that in the best way possible. Just that there's so much more life outside of your 9-to-5. And finding that true balance is so important. And happiness outside of your work is so important, because it can really impact your emotional, I just think, your overall well-being.
Yeah. You're right. Setting boundaries is a big one. Like, I'm terrible at doing that with work, 100%. But I see that in a lot of women who take their work home with them as well, or they carry, because women seem to carry a bigger mental load sometimes. And this is not true across the board, but it is true for a lot of females who do struggle to compartmentalize, switch things off. And if you're bringing that stress and letting it actually seep into your nervous system, it does, your hormones and your gut and your skin and everything's all listening and interwired, and it just, and then your release becomes something that's actually a stressor, even if it's a good stressor. You go from a bad stressor to a good stressor back to a bad stressor, and it's like between work and exercise, you're really struggling to find that sort of chilled spot.
Exactly. And the body doesn't always know what's different between the two, right? So the body can't tell, are you really, like, is there a bear chasing you, or are you actually safe and okay? And it sounds so silly, but I say that to myself, like, out in the cycle on around. I'm like, Christine, you're safe. You love this. You enjoy this. Just to reinforce that positive self-talk and reminding myself that, you know, I love this, and this is actually bringing me joy. So, yeah, but back to work, I think it's super important to just remind yourself the purpose that work has in your life and find joy outside of it. It's really important.
What do you do to unwind now? Like, being conscious of the fact that, it is something I need to actively do, because otherwise I will stay in that spiral state. What are things that make you happy in a sense?
For me, it's nature. 100% have to be out in nature. So it's going for a walk in the morning with my puppy body. That's a big one. So doing like a mindful walk, leaving my phone, leaving my AirPods, nothing. Just go ahead and split 30 minutes. 30 minutes. If I don't get that in, I can definitely feel the difference. So that's a big one. And then in the moment of identifying, like, if I'm feeling that immense stress or pressure, taking myself out of the room, taking myself out for a walk, for a coffee, if I'm in the city, and, you know, it's a big moment, acknowledging that it's okay. So you just remove yourself from a situation and go for a breath.
That's huge. Being able to actually physically go, I'll circle back to this.
One of my mentors in work, she always shared with me, control the controllables. And it's something so simple, but think to what you can and control what you can and let the rest sort itself out. So that's just helped me with those boundaries. Like, this is in my remit. I'll look after that and pour my heart and energy to that. Outside of that, it's in the next person's court to do the back step, right? So,
That makes sense, because I even find that with work, like, if I've had a really intense client and I've taken a lot of that emotion on and I feel really overwhelmed, able to actually, even if it's just sit outside and just go, just sit in the sun for 5 minutes and just, control the controllables. I love that, because that's huge, because often we don't do that. And I read something the other day from a holistic psychologist just about not reacting when you're in a into conflict, and actually going, hey, we'll come back to this, but respond and don't react, or something along those lines. That's like, this is triggering, or this is too hard for me right now, but let's come back to it.
And you can stand up for yourself in a gentle and kind way. I think it's always better to show up and deliver if you have to deal with unkind news, it's better to actually be kind about it and be genuine about it, even though it's difficult conversations. But again, like, in life, we're going to face this difficult things, and we can only play our best part and be our genuine, kind, authentic self that we can be, and then walk away from the situation. Because that's probably the best for the next person, or the best thing in the room.
Yes. 100%. So you've been in the Root Cause program, I don't even know how many months now. Has it been 6 months?
I think I'm on my fifth one. I've still got one more month with you.
I'm like, so much has happened in the last 6 months, and you've changed, like, your mindset, like, has changed so much in 5 or 6 months, just like the carbs, the eating, the attitude to training, like those kinds of things. I feel like you've just upgraded a lot of those beliefs that you had, and you were sort of pushing on the edge of, but wasn't there yet. I think it's been amazing watching that. What have you enjoyed about being in the programs? And say, because I feel like you've touched a lot of different aspects, from skin and training and macros. It's been,
it's been
everything.
At all. I would say the sense of community is beautiful. Having a group of ladies that, can relate to so much and just empower each other. And then obviously having access to a wizard like yourself, who probably understand everything and anything, because at times I think you go through little moments of panic, even though it's not intentional, and just helping to manage that.
Yeah. And also, like, you've run a fair bit of testing as well. I think you did the Dutch prior to the program.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But you've done, you know, you've done a fair bit of testing to sort of understand your body, and that's so undervalued. Like, so many people don't run the testing, and I feel like it just has given you so much more data, even coming into training, to being like, okay, this is where my stress hormones are at, this is where everything's kind of sitting. You sort of know how, where your limits are, and pushing yourself as well.
And what you can expect, and understanding, like for me, the big thing was understanding, this is your hormonal picture. Right, this is what you can expect. It's unfair for you to think you're going to perform in a different way.
Yeah.
The skin's going to not be reactive in the States. And the other thing, well, it was actually a training, funny story. We were doing some deadlifts, but my form wasn't right. So my trainer said to me, drop the weight. And then I sneakily picked up the weights again. And she's like, Christina, it's not cheating to drop the weights. Drop the weights and do the form right. And it's just, it's reminding yourself that harder is not always smarter. And it's moving it into knowing how to, you know, just I think knowing that slowing down is also efficient for me. That's a big thing.
Yeah, I need that. That is huge, especially with the like the frustration patience kind of thing, you know, like people that you may like, I want to be there now, I know where I'm going, let's just get this shit done, and let's just do it. And but then when you slow down and do it better, it actually becomes more efficient in the long run. Relates to birth control pill medication, anything, right? Like, or Roaccutane or whatever it is, people use them and there is a time and place for them, but they're accelerating your process. They're understanding the process and the metrics behind it, and then you might end up where you want to be, but it's only for a short period of time, as opposed to being like, well, this is, you know, long term, this is what it's looking like.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's
So moving forward, what are your big goals? Because you are training for something in December, which is exciting.
Actually, guys, I haven't really shared this. This is my first big commitment to put it out there to the world. So I signed up for my first 70.3 Ironman. So that's really huge. Christine, 5 years ago, would have never in a million years thought this was even possible.
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm super stoked.
So how long's an Ironman? What are we doing and for how long, for those who don't know?
So it's a It's a 1.8-kilometer swim, a 90-kilometer cycle, and a 21-kilometer, so half marathon straight afterwards.
Yeah.
Hopefully in 6 hours.
And what are you most nervous or most excited for out of the three components?
Most excited for the cycle, something I love. I always thought I could swim. I really can't. But
I'm like, I can swim fine. And then after like 600-700 meters, I'm like, okay, this sucks now. Are we there?
My gosh, no, my swimming is horrendous. So doing some swimming lessons at the moment to try and focus on that. I never knew it was such a technical sport. So I really take my hat off to swimmers because,
I love that. That's great. And the run, do you feel like it'll be okay, or do you feel like it'll be quite tricky?
I think after 90 kilometers of cycling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I do love my running. I've done a half before, so I think that's probably what I'm most comfortable in. With other two sports, I'm very new to me.
I think I'd feel exactly the same. The cycle, I'm kind of like, it's a little bit more forgiving, right? Whereas I guess you could always walk, I suppose, but even a slow jog is hard on the body. I think like everything's kind of got to give for it. But and then the swim is like, you've got to be able to breathe. I can't breathe.
I know, it's bizarre. I'm always shocked by how slow I'll fall down in the pool. I'm like, I'm trying so hard.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, I'm just so proud of you signing up for something or setting a goal for yourself and going, okay, this is where my health is. This is where I'm going. I'm not going there to be the fittest or the fastest or to win. But when you set a goal, things become clearer and better and you just become more focused. It's really nice. Whereas if you're kind of like just training for health, which is nice as well, but it is having that goal just pushes you that little bit more too. But
Absolutely. No, I'm very proud. And like I said, I think younger me would be amazed. And I just remind myself of that all the time. So yeah, super proud and very excited.
Yeah.
Yes, thanks, friend. I'm definitely in your book.
No, I love this. I love how far you've come. I love how much you helped this progress. And I love seeing that mindset shift as well, especially like you said, like those early years, and you reflect back and go, yeah, okay, I may not be where I want to be, and I may still be figuring some things out, but I can also look back and go, wow, look where I was. And, you know, that's such an inspiration for so many women. So thank you for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
It's been such a pleasure. You've been amazing and such a big impact in my life. So I'm very thankful for you, Sheridan. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Empowered Hormone Podcast. If you know a female who needs some empowerment, please forward, repost, tag or share, and let's get women talking.